This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm just getting over Thanksgiving.
Are you still full? Sleepy? Still napping?
I'm still taking naps. I'm still full. I mean, my goodness. You know, Thanksgiving, if it came very often, we couldn't stand it, could we?
Oh, Lord, no. We want to because we love all the food. It's an amazing holiday, but my goodness, I'm like you. If it was every day, I would never get anything done. I'd be sleeping in a turkey coma all the time.
That's right. And you know what? I have discovered again that chocolate pie for breakfast is wonderful. Everybody should try it. My gosh, chocolate pie is good in the mornings. Wow.
I have a feeling you ate the chocolate pie before it was it didn't make the Thanksgiving feast, did it?
No. I started early, and I said, "Well, it's here. I'll just have one little piece." And then I had one more little piece. Then later I had one more. And I said, "This is wonderful. Why have breakfast? You could just have chocolate pie." Oh, my gosh. It's a wonderful time of year, you know?
See, now, if I had known that when I was a kid, I could have told my mother, you know, it's okay to have chocolate pie for breakfast. Fay Bagby will tell me in several years from now that it's okay.
That's right. And remember when our kids were little, we would tell them no.
Yes.
We'd say, "No, you have to have breakfast. Now later you can have pie, but not until you have your breakfast or your lunch." And yeah, I broke all the rules. I just said, "Heck, I'm going to have chocolate pie." Oh my gosh.
Well, didn't you pick up all the pies on like Tuesday, didn't you?
Pies had to be picked up on Tuesday. You know, it turns out that I had to do a little more this year than I was planning, but that's okay. You know, I had to thaw a turkey. I had to thaw a ham.
Oh,
had
boy.
To do a lot of things I wasn't planning on. But everything's going to be all right, I said. I just kept saying that. Everything will be all right. Just keep going. Don't stop now.
I remember, I think it was last week or the week before, you were like, "Oh, boy, you got to get that turkey in the bag." The one that, I don't know, I think you said
right.
It was at Target or something. It was already done. You just put it in the thing, and it was wonderful.
That's right.
And I
planned to go pick it up on Saturday. It wasn't a problem. And they said, "It's not at Richland Hills.
Oh.
It's not at Louisville. It's not here." And I'm trailing that thing all over. I'm trailing it, trying to find it. Because I know how easy it's going to be. You go from a freezer to the oven, and it's just not a problem. And guess what? They were sold out. Sold out. After me bragging on it so much and planning to do it. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it happened to me.
Yeah. You said, "You got to hurry. You got to hurry." And I'm like, "Do you have you?" He's like, "No."
I know. And I was going right on down there. You know, that morning after we talked on the air, I was going to go pick it up. And I got on the internet and I said, "Well, I'll order it now and just go pick it up." Right? And it said, no. Well, so much for that.
Yeah, well.
And anyway, I had fun cooking. I had 10 people. That's plenty. You don't want any more than 10.
Oh, Lord, no.
And, no, 10's plenty. And, you know, I had 3 pies. All those were eaten.
One of them early?
Because I'd already eaten the chocolate. Yeah, I had 4. But the chocolate didn't get to the table, so so much for that.
Honestly, I'm surprised it made it from Tuesday all the way to Thursday without without being touched until Thursday morning.
Yeah, I mean, it did okay. But then I had pumpkin, I had coconut, I had pecan. You know, I had 3 kinds. You always want to give them some choices.
Yeah.
And I think people had more than one piece, and that was fine. There wasn't anything left.
Good.
And, the turkey was fine. It's just I had to thaw it, and you know how hard it is to thaw a turkey.
Oh, Lord.
I did the cold water bath, just kept doing it till I got it thawed. And then, I had to cook that sucker and all these other things, but I managed to get it done, get everything done by Thursday at noon.
We've had to thaw them before in the past before we realized, and so we thought that we had it all thawed before, and so we would go in and pull the stuff out in the middle, and it was all still frozen solid.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you have to start thawing that thing quick.
Yes.
And you're using cold water just every little bit. You just got to keep the cold water coming, or that son of a gun is going to be half frozen. You don't want a half frozen turkey.
Oh, no.
It does not cook well frozen, let me tell you. You talk about an old hard turkey, it could turn out that way.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Oh, man. But everything was great. I had plenty of food. That's always what you worry about. Do I have enough for 10 people?
Yeah.
And I have these warming trays, these wonderful, huge warming trays that as you take it out, you put it on the warming tray, it'll stay hot.
Really?
Don't have any problems. Yeah. I bought these a couple of years ago. They're big. And so I have these huge warming trays I put everything on.
So you actually put the dishes on these trays, and then the trays generate heat to kind of keep all the stuff in the pans warm?
It keeps it completely warm. And it has three or four temperatures. Yeah. And you can't put your real nice china on there. You've got to keep it in the Pyrexes.
Yeah.
But as long as you keep Pyrexes on it, it's safe. It'll keep it warm forever.
Wow.
And so you don't have to worry about anything getting cold while you're getting everything else together.
Yeah, that part's kind of a bummer when that happens, especially if you
That's
go back
right.
for seconds or thirds and everything's kind of a little bit chilly, you heat it up. But, man, I didn't even know they made those warmer trays. Wow.
Well, yes, they do. And they're very nice. And I bought them, as I said, a couple of years ago, and it works wonders. You just put them on there. Everything is hot. And then if you want to put it in a nice, nice bowl, you can do it at the last second. Or you can leave it in Pyrexes and just, do it that way.
See, look at you. You're always ahead of the curve on all this technology stuff. Look at you. Man.
Well, I mean, if you cook as much as I do, you got to have something going.
Well, that's true.
When you've got a large crowd coming, how are you going to keep everything hot? You can't put everything in the oven.
Yeah.
Because you're still using the oven. You're still turning out food. So if you've got these big, huge warming trays, you just turn the trays on. You can cook everything, and 2 hours before, you can start putting everything on your trays.
Yeah. Wow. Neat.
So it'll stay hot, so you don't have to worry about it. So that's my suggestion.
That is fantastic.
If you're having a whole bunch of people, yeah, warming trays are the answer.
I got to look into that. That sounds amazing. So you went from, because at one point, sometimes you go to the country club, and then sometimes you get the turkey in the thing that's already done. But as it turns out, you went old school for the first time in probably, what, many, many years since you've actually...
Many years. Old school is exactly right. I hadn't done this in a long, long time. Because, if we don't go to the country club, I have somebody cook the turkey.
Yeah.
I just go pick it up, slice it, and we're through, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't turn out that way this year. This year, everything was from scratch, folks.
Sometimes, I bet you were probably tired just from all that cooking before you even got the turkey tired. So you were ready for a nap.
That's right. I mean, we had to do dressing. I had to do everything.
Oh.
We had to do cranberry sauce, my famous sweet potato recipe. We did that this year. Nobody wants to come to my house if I'm not doing that. My famous sweet potato recipe.
It's legendary.
It's legendary. And they always want to be sure I have enough of it. Are you sure you've got enough? And I'm going, oh my gosh,
And I bet it was probably the best ever.
It was. It was great. It's got all this brown sugar. It's got pecans in it. It's got regular sugar in it. It's got so many things in it. It's so sweet. I guess that's why they really like it. But it's almost a dessert in itself. It's so sweet.
Lord.
But it's a wonderful sweet potato recipe that I've had for 30 years. Mm. And everybody always wants to be sure of that. And my green Jell-O, that I have not changed it up.
Really?
That it still has all the same ingredients, yes.
Wow. That sounds amazing.
Yes. It is. It has whipping cream in it. It has pineapple in it. It has cottage cheese in it.
Ooh.
Has pecans. Yes, it's very great. It's a great recipe.
My guess is you could probably sell both of those, probably put them in a jar and probably sell them online and make a fortune.
You know, have you ever noticed that all these cooks put all this stuff, the desserts, all this in mason jars?
They do.
I've noticed that they'll say, they put it in mason jars, puts the lid on it, puts it in the refrigerator and has it for their guests. I see that all the time.
Yeah.
I've never used mason jars, but these people do. I noticed all these famous cooks do that.
Yeah, I'm starting to see that too. Apparently mason jars are like all the rage these days.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be. They can do it early. They don't do like you and I would do. We would put it in a bowl,
yeah,
and people would dip it out. They don't do that. They put it in individual mason jars.
Yeah.
You know?
They put the final thing in the mason jar. Or I've also seen where they do the other thing with jars is they put, like, the ingredients for it. Like, they measure everything, like, all the dry ingredients. They measure it all out, put it in the mason jar, and then attach a recipe card to finish making it.
Huh, now I hadn't seen that.
Yeah.
I missed that. I was probably out that day when they were saying you can mix it later. I didn't know that. I thought, you know, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it'll have like cocoa powder and flour and sugar and salt and whatever else.
Oh my gosh, I'd be afraid they'd mess it up, then they'd blame you. They'd go, oh, well, you know, it's your fault.
Of course. I'm sure that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
So now that we're through with Thanksgiving, now it's on to the Christmas holidays.
On to the Christmas holidays. Onward and upward.
Yeah, yeah. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So how are we as we go from Thanksgiving into Christmas and then like the last month of the year? You know, we're kind of winding out 2021. How are we looking right now for policies, for investments?
Let me tell you, we've had three come due. The Vega policy, we did this on November 25th, 2020. And it has already matured early.
Really?
It was supposed to have been a 36-month policy.
Oh, wow.
And so she lived approximately 1 year.
Wow.
Because it went to the bank on 11/25 of last year. She's already passed away. And she had stage 4 metastatic non-small cell lung cancer. It had spread to the lymph nodes and the bones.
Oh,
wow. She was 58 years old. I only had two people in this. And so they have made out like a bandit. Their investment, one put $60,000, they're getting $81,000. The other one had put $50,000, $294,000, and they're getting $68,000.
Wow.
36%, folks.
Wow.
And it came in 2 years early.
Let me say this.
Then we had one that came in. We did July 23rd. Of 19, her name is Lester, and it has matured, and let's see, it pays 30%.
Ooh.
And I had a lot of people in it. A $70,000 investment paid $91,000.
Oh, wow.
One had $78,000 in it, they're getting $102,000. One had $70,000 and they're getting $91,000.
Wow.
And then we had another one called Washington come in. And this is an old one. This is one of the ones that's went over. We did it in 2016. She was 44 years old. She had duodenal cancer. It invaded her small bowel and the transverse colon. And it has come in. So everybody that had that will be very glad that old one has come in.
Wow. Yeah, that's been sitting out there for... So now you're down to two, right? I think.
I think so. And this lady was 44 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she was 44.
Wow.
So she lived a little longer than we had anticipated, but everybody's getting paid. That's always a blessing if you can get paid.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we've got three there.
So three maturities in 1 week.
Yeah, three maturities. And we've got another one that should be at the bank that we've talked about before. It was delayed for some reason. Don't know why. And we got on everybody, got it to the carrier. And by the end of the week, everybody should get their money.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
So, yeah. So that we'll get that paid. So we're always glad if we can get them to the bank, get it into their account where they can reinvest. You know, that's what it's about, is turning their money, making them money, getting that interest to them.
And boy, having two of them come in like that, like 2 years and then 1 year early, that's pretty significant. I mean, that's a big deal.
I wish we'd had more people in that one that came in early. That would have been nice.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was just two people in it, but they made 30%. The other one, the one that's went over, they've got 18% in that. So everybody's getting paid some money. That's the good thing. Everybody's money is turned. A lot of people's money's turned, and they're getting paid.
Yeah, and then from here, a lot of them will go ahead and reinvest in more policies. And, you know, it seems like, you know, for a while there was a phase where there wasn't a whole lot of maturities, and now all of a sudden there's some movement towards the end of the year, and, you know, there's a lot of things that are happening. I guess, you know, as far as investment goes, is it fair to say there's maybe some momentum that's picking up with
Well, you hope so. You know, we never know. And lots of times there's some out there that have passed away that we don't find out about. They've either moved, they've went to a different state, because we're checking on them all the time. And sometimes there's one that we can't find. You know, that we had that one lady, as you know, that we could not find her. We knew that she had passed away, but we could not find the obituary. And we finally paid her stepson to tell us, you know, where she had died at.
Wow.
And, you know, they sign an agreement to keep us abreast of their situation, their health, when they're in the hospital, if they've passed away. And sometimes families don't do it. I don't know. They love getting the money from us.
Yeah.
But then sometimes they don't hold up their end of the bargain.
Yeah. Maybe they feel they've already been paid, and so they're not really motivated.
They've been paid, so they don't care.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow. That doesn't happen very often, though, does it?
It just turns out that. No, not very often. Usually everybody, in fact, the ones that we've done through Haversham, they will call them and tell them that their parent had died or the aunt died, whoever it was. So we find out those a lot sooner because they have a close relationship with their client. And they'll call and tell them that person has passed away.
Wow.
And the other providers don't have that close a relationship. If they did, you know, we'd find out about these things a lot sooner.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting.
But it's always good to find out we've got maturities. It's good to pay people. That's what we're here for, is to pay them, to get them their interest. So I'm always pleased when we've got two or three come up that, you know, that we can pay people.
Yeah. Wow. What happens like at the end of the year? Is there anything that changes, you know, between now and say, just say a random day in like August or something, you know, as we get towards the holidays, you know, do people take time off? Is there a policy slowdown, or is it just like business as usual as we go through the holidays? Cause the reason I asked is because you had three maturities and it was a short week this week. And so I didn't know how things changed.
Well, you never know. You know, we're checking every day. In addition to the people that check this for us, we're checking every day, you know, trying to find maturities. We're always checking because we want to know first if we can. And, you know, we're checking obituaries. We've got two different companies checking obituaries for us. You know, they check Social Security. We're checking everything because we want to know, you know, as soon as they pass away, where we can get that death certificate. Yeah. The death certificate is key to this. We have to have it in order to turn in the claim. So we're spending more money, you know, trying to find the early maturities.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, more money and more time, because it takes some investment to kind of, I guess, to track them down and kind of monitor, I guess.
But that's right, and that's what we're supposed to do. We try to monitor it from several different perspectives at all times.
Yeah, just to kind of stay on top of it. Because I'm sure sometimes if you just wait on other people, you know, people kind of get lazy and they're not really, you know, they don't really care. And so as long as you're on top of it and kind of watching everything, I mean, I'm sure that makes investors feel good as well. Because, I mean, geez, we're talking about a lot of money. The point is to you know, have the return and then get that and then reinvest. And if things are just kind of like just sitting out there randomly, then that kind of slows down the process. So it's pretty cool that you're on top of it like that.
That's right. And that we had an investor call this week because she's in a policy that's went over and she doesn't have the new LE. So she wondered why. We told her that we were having trouble getting the family to give us the new medical information. And she said, well, can I talk to the lawyer? And we said, sure, if that will make you feel better. You know, it's Jim Orr is our lawyer on this. He's on top of it. But if you feel like you need to talk to him, you know, go ahead. Here's his number.
People can do that?
You know, they can if they want to.
Wow.
You know, oh, yeah, we don't have anything, you know, against that. It's just that I hate for people to call him when he's working on our deal, you know.
Yeah.
I'd rather they just call me and we'll tell you, you know. Yes, he's working on this policy. Yes, he's working on that one. We're trying to get new medical information. So when we're slow getting you a new LE, that's what it is. The family is balking at giving us the new information on what new doctors they're seeing. We've got one client that we bought their policy, and they're seeing seven doctors.
Whoa. That sounds
They're
intense.
Under the care of seven doctors.
Wow.
So we have to get a report from each one of those doctors.
Oh, my goodness.
And put it all together. So lots of times, right now, as you know, the doctors are not seeing anybody in person if they can help it. So when we're asking for new medical information, it is very slow right now getting that medical information, because they're not actually seeing them unless they have to. If they have to, they're doing tests at the hospitals, all that. And it's just taking a lot more time, you know, to get our information on these people than it used to because of the virus. The hospitals now don't want you to even come in unless you've just got to.
Yeah.
And they would rather not even see you. They don't even want to talk about it.
This may be a silly question, but when you have somebody like this who is seeing seven different doctors, how does the LE work? Do you have seven of those to look at, or does all that get funneled through one source, and then you have like one or two LEs
to look
at?
Well, we'll put it all into one report, yes, but it'll tell us who all they've seen, what each one was doing, if they're all specialists, you know, why are they having to see all these different doctors? Are they getting different opinions? Are they actually treating them for seven different things?
Wow. It sounds really intense.
It does. And so I don't know about that person I just saw this week when I was going over all the ones we're waiting on, because we're waiting on new LEs on several, and I was reading what they were waiting on. And then some of them are requesting a special authorization. Those doctors want a special authorization to give us the information. Usually not. Usually a letter from us and the family is all it takes. And but these were all requesting special authorizations to give us the information.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
The special authorization that they're looking for?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. But we've requested, a clearer understanding. We've said, you know, would you give us a clear update on exactly what you mean, what it is you want. Because we have the forms already ready, signed. You know, we have a standard form that we make them sign saying, you know, give us this information on this client. And usually that's good enough. But they're saying they want a special one. So it's something new that we haven't heard of.
Wow. You think this is maybe a new trend or just kind of like a coincidence or something?
I think it's coincidence. I hope it is. hope it's not something new, but I saw that on several this week, that we were having to wait for this special authorization rather than just the regular authorization that we use all the time.
Wow. That's new and interesting. Huh.
I thought so, too. So, anyway, we're working on those. We're trying to get those done. So, anybody that says, I have not been able to get a new L.A., now, hang on. We're getting them. We're going to get them to you as quick as we get them. Remember, we want to get them out. That's our job, is to get these to you. So we're going to do it as quick as we can, and we're working on it very hard.
Typically, when something goes, when a policy goes over like that, and you get new information, when you have like a new LE, is it like an updated, you know, list of treatments, or you know, now instead of maybe 24 months, they think it may be 18 or 36, or how what's in that information that's revised that you get typically?
Okay, it tells us. Let's say that the last one we had was in 18 and 19. Okay, that had run out. They did not die in that length of time. So we've requested from the doctors, okay, why are they under new treatment? What is the difference? Why have they not passed away? Can you tell us? And I got one this week that I didn't believe. And I go, you know, I compared the old one to the new one, and the old one said, you know, this person has had so many tumors over a five-year period, they've just operated on the colon, they've operated on a bladder, they've operated on everything the person had. And, you know, they should have passed away in that length of time. And now they're saying, due to not being as sick as they were, we think they've got all these extra months. And we're going, well, in 18 and 19, you said this person is on the verge of death.
Yeah.
So we think they've made a mistake. So we've said, we would like this clarified, please.
Wow.
Because it says, in fact, I've got it from me. It says, they have protracted disease, lack of response to multiple targeted therapies, and immunology. Now, see there? Yeah. If it says, based on protracted disease course, lack of response...
So you know, it sounds like it didn't respond to the treatment, and it may have gotten worse. That's what it sounds like, but I'm not a pro.
It says his disease progressed further.
Wow. You know,
his metastatic disease, again, by 2011, and it just keeps going, but his tumors have recurred every few months. And now they're saying, oh, this guy's very sick. We're going, we've got it right here. All the medical records says he's almost dead.
Yeah.
So we're asking for them, can you explain this, how this guy goes from the disease has progressed so bad, and now you're saying it's not?
Yeah, it sounds like a complete reversal.
I think they've missed something, is what I'm saying. I don't believe you can have this many tumors, this many surgeries, and then they say all of a sudden, well, we don't think this guy's very sick. I don't believe that. I mean, if you're this sick, you're going to pass away.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like...
And they talk about the pain that the person is in.
Oh, yeah.
And they're giving them all kinds of narcotics.
Yeah, I know you look at all the pain medicine all the time. That's a big indicator as well.
Yeah, that's a big indicator. If you're on a tremendous pain medicine, you know, and then they say all of a sudden, oh, we don't think you're very sick. And then yet it says protracted disease course, lack of response. If you've got a lack of response to all the medications and the surgeries, I don't believe you're going to make it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's getting much worse, but then they're saying something completely different. That's weird. It's not adding up.
You know, when you've got chronic kidney disease, you know, all this other... And then you've got cancer in four places. I think something went wrong.
Yeah, I think something went wrong.
They resected his colon because of the cancer. You know, his bladder, I mean, he had so many kinds of cancer, it's ridiculous. I mean, I know the guy is dying. I don't believe there's any chance.
Wow.
And I think they just somehow got it wrong.
Wow.
Because you don't say that he's not responding to medication, and he's had five surgeries.
Yeah.
And every time they've just found more tumors. It gives the size of the tumors.
Really?
So we know they're big tumors, yeah.
And you know that they're real, too, you know?
We know they're real tumors. We know how sick the man is, and I just can't understand it, you know?
That's really strange.
It's in the lymph nodes,
uh-oh,
you know. And you know if it's in the lymph nodes, it's spread.
Oh, yeah. That's another key indicator.
Yeah. And he was on the waiting list for a clinical trial.
Really?
And they had to cut him out of that. He was too sick to go through that. So I just... I'm waiting to see if I'm the one that's right.
It doesn't seem like this happens very often because I don't hear you usually talk about it. So this
is one of the first times that I've said that they've missed something, because on the first one, it's documented. I mean, every time he had surgery, every time it was in a different lymph node, when it was in his bladder, when it was in the colon, when it was in all these places, it's documented.
Yeah.
So we know the man's very ill.
And you do very thorough research on this. I mean, you look into it, you read all the, you read every single word, you go through it with a fine-tooth comb, and so it seems like it would have, you know, it seems like it would have been an open and shut case, really very, very obvious, especially with all the indicators that you're saying that were there originally, and then now it's just, it's strange. That's for sure.
It is, and so we've asked the doctors to go back and give us a new report and explain this.
Hmm.
I said, doctors, can you explain this? You know, we're not talking about a healthy person here.
Yeah.
If we were, it'd be a different story. If on the first go around, it said, well, he had a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but nothing serious, then I would have went with this. But when the guy is as sick as this guy is, you know, we know it's serious.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to come out of it.
Wow.
Any stretch of the imagination. I do not believe that.
How long does it usually take to get something back from them when you ask for that stuff?
Oh, it'll take a couple of months now. You know, and the guy's 71 when we did this.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's weird.
So, you know, if yeah, it is. And so we're going back with a fine-tooth comb. We're going to get it right. And we're going to find out how this man that is so ill is suddenly not ill.
Yeah.
And I don't believe it.
Yeah. It's really, really weird. Yeah, because I know you look at it, you know, really closely, like the first time. And I know from what it sounds like you've gone back and like everything that you saw in the first case, you're not seeing anything that you missed or, oh, we, you know, just, you know, didn't realize something. Everything that you saw the first go around when you looked at it is still exactly the same as when you go back and look at it for a second time, just to kind of follow up. It's all the same, except the outcome is different.
That's right.
Now. Weird. Weird.
So anyway, we'll find out, and we'll let you know about that one as soon as we hear. But we always want to be sure we've got the right facts, that we know how sick they are or not sick, because you know we're not going to buy anything that's not really sick, and we know the man is really ill.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that comes out.
Yeah. How is it over? Is it over? You said that's why you're asking for more data. Has it gone over?
Yeah, it's gone over, so we ask for a new report, and because, you know, it shouldn't have went over any, but it has. So we wanted to know why, and when they came back with, well, he's not that sick, that's not true. This man has got, I mean, he's got five surgeries. It's in his lymph nodes. It's in his bladder. It was in the colon. It's in three places, and, you know, he's been in and out of the hospital all this time.
So it's actually possible that the policy may mature before you even get the new information, right?
It'd be my luck. It'll mature while I'm trying to find out what's wrong.
Wow.
I mean, that could happen.
Interesting. Yeah.
I can tell you, I do not think he's going to live a long time.
Yeah.
You know, we had that other case where they came back and said the guy was going to live 4 years, and he lived 2 months, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
We talked about that a lot.
Man.
So it can turn out that way. We'll just wait and see.
Yeah. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. It's got a lot of things for you to read about. It tells you what people have made, how long it took, whether it was late, whether it was on time. And you can go back and listen to all the shows that you might have missed.
Yeah, and that's a big deal. I know a lot of people do. I know a
it
lot
is
of people,
to everybody.
Especially, you know, we were talking about this, I think, last week, that a lot of people, you know, gone this week, you know, they're out, you know, traveling, they've left the area, and they may be back. And a lot of times you hear from people that actually are gone for a period of time. They go on vacation, whatever, and then they come back, and then they go back and listen to the old shows and stream and kind of see what's going on. So it's a very valuable resource that a lot of people really get a lot of information out of. Every Saturday morning around this time, we pause for a moment and take a break and do some trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
It's German chocolate cake.
Oh.
You know, I'm into food right now. Yes. It's that time of year.
Yes.
Okay. For generations, Americans have been saying German chocolate cake came from the Germans.
Oh, yeah.
And it did not come from the Germans. It came from Texas.
Really?
Yes, and the one that discovered this was the Dallas Morning News.
Huh.
Can you believe that?
No.
The Dallas Morning News found out that our beloved chocolate German cake came right here from Texas in 1957.
Really?
It did not come from Germany, and it was called German Sweet Chocolate Cake. Mrs. George Clay, Southeast Dallas, submitted the recipe. It used Baker's German sweet chocolate. Julie Bennett's recipe of the day, column, she called the recipe German's chocolate after Samuel German, who invented the chocolate while working for Baker's Chocolate.
Really?
According to What's Cooking America, the Bennett's recipe was such a hit, it was picked up by other newspapers across the country. And it caused sales of Baker's chocolate to soar. And and sometime or other, they started leaving out Baker's German sweet chocolate out of the recipe. But the name stuck. Confusion surrounded the origin of the German chocolate cake has been so widespread. Lyndon Johnson, when he served at his Johnson City Ranch for a luncheon with German Chancellor Ludwig Erhard in 1963. Hmm. Now, and he didn't know that it wasn't from Germany, and he was serving it to the German Chancellor. 60 years later, we're going to settle the score in Texas' favor.
Wow.
It came from Texas. A lady in Southeast Dallas whipped it up. She's the one who started the German chocolate cake. It did not come from Germany. It was not a German recipe. It was named after Samuel German.
See, that surprises
right
me.
Here in Texas.
I should say, let me take that back. It surprises me that it doesn't come from Germany. It doesn't surprise me that there's one more cool thing from Texas.
That's right. Mrs. George Clay, Southeast Dallas. She submitted the recipe to the Dallas Morning News, and that's how it started.
I can't even, I would have thought, you know, like probably, I guess, like most people, it was, you know, something that's been, you know, probably something like something that was like an old school, you know, German type of thing that had been in, you know, for probably hundreds or maybe thousands of years in Germany, and then somebody came over, and then they brought the recipe, and that's where it's, I had no idea that it was in the 50s in Texas where it started. Not a clue.
Yeah, and she called it German sweet chocolate cake, and she sent the recipe into the Dallas Morning News.
Wow. Wow. And, you know, it's really great. I'm, like you, a huge chocolate lover. Except it's getting to where like a lot of like fudgy chocolates are like, ugh, they're like really, really heavy and really dense and really sweet. But the German chocolate cake, it's more of a like a lighter type of a thing, and it doesn't sit so heavy. It's really it really goes well when you know when you put like sweet things with it, you know, like really sweet like buttercream or really sweet, you know, other, you know, frostings and whatever toppings. It kind of keeps it so that it doesn't go on sweet overload. It's a really, really great cake.
And I had some this week. That's how come me to think about it. And I go, well, who invented German chocolate cake? I thought, well, it was the Germans.
Yeah.
And then I find out Southeast Dallas, Mrs. George Clay, it was her recipe. She's the one that started it. And she was using Baker's German sweet chocolate. And she invented it. It was her recipe. And it was named after Samuel German.
Interesting.
And so everybody said, well, where did it come from? Right here in Texas. And her recipe was such a hit, it was picked up by other newspapers all the way across the country. And so then all these people started making it, and somehow somebody thought that it really was a German recipe. Well, you know Lyndon Johnson did.
That's funny.
I mean, German Chancellor Ludwig Erhard in 1963 served it.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
No.
I love the story. Turns out German chocolate actually is Texan. It's not German.
Wow.
So I thought that was pretty cute.
That is really cute. And I would have never even thought to even question it. I thought it was just kind of understood.
Nope. I think everybody thought so. And they put it in their recipe books and they all said, oh my, here we've got this German chocolate cake.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not true.
Yeah. And now you can get it in a box and and you just add milk.
Oh yeah, you can get
water.
Everything in a box now. Oh my gosh.
It's the best. Wow. Well, now I've
got the best.
A whole new appreciation for it.
Because you know it's Texan all the way.
Yes. Yes. Through and through. That's good to know.
And, you know, Texans have invented so many things. I mean, without ever leaving the state, we've invented almost everything that's important in life. Do you realize that?
You really have. You know, it's like you have really gone through several different not products, but you know, you've talked about wines, you've talked about, you know, meat, you've talked about, you know, different art things that are from here. You've talked about, you know, now cake. It seems like we've got like literally everything that we could ever need right here. And you've really kind of as you go through these different stories and you talk about these different things that we have, it's quite fascinating that how self-sufficient we actually can be and are here. It's
That's neat. Exactly right. I mean, without ever leaving the state, you know, we've got so many famous things that happened right here.
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing to me that Texans have invented so many things, high-tech things. And then you go back and you say farmers, you know, we have the biggest watermelon places in the world, pecans, we've got, fig trees, we've got things in Texas that shouldn't even be growing in Texas.
Yeah.
things that you think about other countries that you don't think about Texans having it, and they have everything. I mean, and then of course we've got all of our monuments here that are so dear to us, like Sam Houston, things. The things that have happened are so famous in Texas.
Yeah, you know? Big things, too, like life-changing types of things, you know? Things that have changed the world that we use every day and take for granted and don't even realize most of them.
I think that's it. People don't even realize. We should be so proud to live in a state that has so many wonderful things that we've discovered.
Yeah.
You know, other states are not this proud. And we are a proud people here, let me tell you.
Yes, and we have good reason to be. You know, and then you look at the geography of the state. There's so many different types of geographical regions, you know. So you go to, you know, like wines come from certain sections, and then you've got, you know, produce from other certain sections, and then you've got, you know, all these different climates, and it's almost like having like four quads of climate conditions perfect for just about anything you could ever want to grow or manufacture or make or anything like that. I mean, we've got the terrain for it. It's somewhere in the state.
That's right. And then we've got Texas Instruments. We've got all these companies that developed all these famous things, you know, like the transistors. I mean, everything. All this was invented in Texas.
Yeah.
By Texans. So it's a wonderful state to live in. We have so many things to be thankful for.
Yeah, we really do, and it's fascinating the way that you've gone through this list of things, and you still have many more to go, you know, and so it's really, really, you know, some of the things, yeah, obviously we know about, but then there's you dig so deep and you find these things that that most of us either didn't know or we forgot, and then when you put them all into a bubble like this and kind of condense everything down, it really is quite fascinating. So. Probably I speak
for... And
we
didn't even know a lot of these things existed.
Oh.
We didn't know Texans had invented all these things.
Yes, yes. It's amazing. It really is amazing. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Is this a good time right now for people to come in and maybe get on board, maybe start the process of getting into life settlements like this time of year, generally speaking? Is this a good time?
I think so. I think it's a good time. A lot of people are making changes at the end of the year. Their 401k may be going to get rid of it, go to an IRA. A lot of the companies are saying we're not going to sponsor a 401k anymore, so they're going to have to take it on themselves and do an IRA. So now's a good time to do that. Before the end of the year, they may want to get their money in, get it working for them. A lot of people are selling their businesses. A lot of people are retiring. So they need to do different things. They need to make some changes. So a lot of people are thinking about those things. Now's a good time to talk to us, see if this fits, see if this is something they want to do, and see if it'll work for them.
Okay. I do know, though, that like we were talking about earlier, there are a couple of risks involved with a life settlement. We like to cover those three risks just so that people who do come on board or are they're thinking about it, you know, they are aware that things could happen. So what's the first biggest risk with a life settlement?
The biggest risk is it can go over. So that is your biggest risk. You have to have money. Of course, you have to be accredited to be in this, so that makes a big difference. So it can go over. That is your biggest risk, is you might have to pay premiums. So be prepared. You might have two or three that'll go over. Then you might have two or three that don't go over. So it'll work out in the end. You know, percentage over, a percentage under, a percentage on time. So you have to be prepared for that. The second risk is, remember, it's not liquid until it matures. So it's not going to be liquid until that matures. When it matures, it's liquid. You can reinvest. You can take money out if you need to, whatever you need to do. The third risk is if a life insurance company ever went under. Years and years ago, that might have been a risk. It's really not a risk now because all of them are worth billions and billions of dollars. They have billions of dollars in income, just like U.S. Steel the other day. They're taking their pensions and putting in to life insurance companies. Banner Life is one of the ones. They're sending $129 million over to put in annuities.
Good Lord,
because
that's a
lot. Yeah, it's a lot, $129 million. I would have loved to have been the one that wrote that. I mean,
yeah.
Anybody in America would have been. $129 million? Woo!
Wow.
You could have retired four times over. Do you realize that?
Yeah, my goodness.
At least four times over. But anyway, U.S. Steel. They no longer want to have it in stocks and the risk associated with it. And
that's...
I don't know why, but they're getting out of it. They're putting it in annuities. to guarantee the people's money, where they don't have to worry about. The other thing is, I don't think they'll ever have to match it again. That may be another thing they're getting out of, is matching the 401k. Because I don't believe you would have to match it if it's in an annuity. I'm not sure how they wrote it. But it looks to me like they're just taking a lump sum of $129 million, putting it in two life companies for people, and they'll have guaranteed income, guaranteed policies. They don't have to worry about the stock market anymore. They don't have to worry about the ups and downs of anything. So this, to me, is a very conservative approach all of a sudden to get them out of that. And I don't know what happened, why U.S. Steel did it, unless it's to stop the risk. And that's what it looks like.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they probably had a lot of like people in 401ks who have lost probably a ton of money, and you know when the company is matching it, I'm sure you know that goes down for them too. So maybe they're looking for you know ways that you know hey we don't have to you know like you said maybe they don't have to match, but then also maybe it's just the fact that you know hey if we're going to set something up let's set something up that people can actually you know make money or at least you know keep their principal and things like that, and they don't have the same risk as the stock market. Maybe it's...
That's right, and that's why their investment will never go down. It will just grow from here. So those people have got guaranteed income, guaranteed principal now.
Yeah.
So that's a heck of a deal. And I think that was the most conservative thing I've ever heard of a huge company doing. I've never known one to do this, to take it out of their investments and put it in annuities for safety.
Once this gets on the radar, I wonder if it'll be like a trend where other companies do the same thing. Maybe they'll follow up.
I'm wondering about it because, you know, sometimes they have huge losses, sometimes they don't. But they're managing their money, and they're having to kick in extra money to match it. And so this, I don't think they'll be matching it anymore. That'll save them millions of dollars right there.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. You know, when you were talking about the risk, you talk about it being liquid and not, or at least not liquid until it matures. The thing, though, that people need to remember, especially if they haven't done this before, the policies that you're going for are not things that are going to last 10, 15, 20 years. It's not like a REIT where people are, you know, stuck into it, you know, forever. When you say they can't, you know, you can't get the funds out until it actually matures, you're talking about, you know, 18, 24, 30 months. Month-long
right.
policies. So.
And each policy is different. You may have some policies that are 18 months. You may have one that's 12 months, but you may have one that's 30 months or two or three that's 30. So at the end of that time, each time one matures, you have access to your money. So it's policy by policy you have access to your money as they mature.
Yeah. For those who
it's
are...
not, you have to wait on all of them.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I was going to, to do this, you have to be accredited. First of all, what does that mean?
That means you have to make either $200,000 a year or you have to be worth $1 million without your home. That is a government requirement. It's not our requirement.
Okay, so for those who are not accredited, what options do they have as far as investing?
But they can do annuities with us. We do a lot of annuities. Annuities are guaranteed. That you can get lifetime income that you can't outlive. You can take annuities, and every year when you put your interest in, they lock in that interest every year. It's locked in. You never lose your interest. It's not like in the stock market. When the interest is credited, it stays there. So that interest becomes yours every year.
Do people, and I know there's a couple of different ways that people can do this, annuities are not necessarily something for anyone who's not accredited. There are people who actually do both. There are people that do annuities, and then they also have life settlements. They're kind of like a diversified against, throughout both platforms, right?
That's
Am I
right.
saying that right? I don't
you
know if that makes
both.
Sense.
I have some people that for their wife, they want annuities in case they die first. She is guaranteed as guaranteed income. Her money's guaranteed. Her principal's safe, and nobody can take it away from her. And I have a lot of women that want annuities. Then I have some people that they both want annuities. I've got people that have had annuities with us for 10 and 11 years, a long time.
Is there an advantage or disadvantage of one over the other? Or does it just not, like, it's each individual investor's preference?
It's completely separate. An annuity works different. An annuity, your interest is credited once a year, and it builds up year after year. You can start taking money out of an annuity after 1 year. You have to wait 12 months. Then you can start taking your money out. You can get an annuity that pays just a flat rate, like 3%. But then you can get annuities that have the advantage of making, 8 to 11%.
Oh, wow. All right.
And every year it's different. But right now they're saying annuities are going to make more than they have in the past. They've got them fixed different now. And the investment you make in annuities, you never are directly in the stock market. That's the good thing. You're never in the stock market.
So really, when it comes down to, which route is the best way, it kind of depends on what people's goals are, how close they are to retirement, or if they're already retired, how far in are they, what are they starting with, what are their goals. It might be a nice mix for people to do both. Either way, it's something that people need to plan, especially with like a life settlement. I know, people, we talk all the time about how you get into a couple of policies, and then when they mature, you reinvest in other policies. It's part of a plan, and people need to start that plan. It's not where they come in and invest in one life insurance policy, and then all of a sudden, they retire next week. It's not anything like that at all. It's a strategy.
Really. No, it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. We're not going to make you rich overnight. Anybody that says that, they're not talking about this, I can tell you. It's just a traditional investment that will make money over time. Your interest is always guaranteed. Your principal is always guaranteed. And it's just a normal, everyday deal.
That's not affected at all by anything that happens in the stock market or the world or anything like that. If the stock market crashed on Monday, if you're in a life settlement, you're totally fine. Nothing to worry about.
That's right. It is not affected by anything outside of the investment. This is a life insurance investment. Always remember that. You're invested in life insurance, which I think is the safest thing in the world, is the life insurance policy. So you're always invested in a life insurance policy, nothing else.
Cool.
So when it matures, the life insurance company is the one that pays you. Always remember, it's the life insurance company that pays you. So you know you'll always get your money. This is a billions of dollar companies that are paying you when the policy matures. When you have a maturity, we send it in. The life insurance company pays off.
Okay. And one last question, as people start to plan and start to think about, maybe I do need to, reevaluate as we kind of come to the end of the year. Maybe I didn't make as much as I wanted to in the stock market this year, or maybe I'm looking at my entire portfolio over the last 20 or 30 years, and maybe, it's not as profitable as maybe I thought, or, maybe I'm not quite where I need to be, and they're looking for other options. What should they do in preparation before they come to talk to you? Is there something that they should have ready ahead of time?
Make sure that they're worth either the $1 million, or they do make $200,000. Look at what they've made over the last 20 years, the last 10 years. Have they made what they want to make? Do they want to make more? How conservative are they? Do they want a conservative investment that over time will pay them well? How much risk can they stand? If they can stand 100% risk, they're fine. If they say, we're getting older, I don't think we can stand this much risk. I have a lot of people that come to me and say, I've lost all I want in the last few years. Yes, we know the stock market's up, but we do not want to take that risk as we get older. We want to be sure we're going to get our principal and interest that we've earned. And that's why they come to us.
Okay. And in order to get started, they do need to call and make an appointment. I assume you've got regular schedules for the next week or so, and people just
that's
need
right.
to make an appointment, right?
And we'll be closed Thursday and Friday.
Excellent.
Let's see. That's for Christmas. What is that?
It's, I think.
What day is Christmas on? I said Thursday and Friday. That's probably not right.
I think Christmas Eve is on a Friday.
Okay. So we'll be closed, Christmas Eve, Christmas, and then we're always closed between Christmas and New Year's. We take off that whole week.
Yeah, I knew you had some kind of a strange yearly schedule coming up, but for this coming week, they're fine.
Yeah, we
the week
do.
After, they're fine. But they do need to make an appointment.
Yes, fine.
So one last time, Faye,
That's
what
right.
is your
they
phone
They need to make an appointment. Call, talk to me about it, see if it's something you want. If you like it, we'd be glad to do it.
Cool. And what's your number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.